Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Your mic is open.
Can you hear me? Michael?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. There's a lot, little challenge getting online with AM 360, but greetings to everyone, dear believers, and guests on our Sunday evening program, whereby we are honored Imam Kareem Hamid and Brother Michael Hamid and myself, Sister Mahasin Abdul Salam, to again continue bringing you the reading, wonderful reading, of the Ramadan Sessions, Volume 1, by Imam W. Dean Muhammad, edited and published by Imam Ronald B. Shahid. Let me open up with the Shahada Tain and recommitment to our deen and our commitment and belief in Allah and following the uswa of Prophet Muhammad and the leadership of Imam W. Deen Muhammad as he unveiled to us his insightful commentary and tafsir of his mission in the Deen of Al-Islam, called the Ramadan Sessions, Volume 1. And greetings to everyone. We pray Allah everything is going well with you and your family. Inshallah, that Allah will strengthen you, continue his protection upon you, and give us all the energy, the courage, and the effort to persevere with patience and constancy in this deen. Again, greetings to you this evening. And we will start where we left off last reading. Beautiful, beautiful concept that we covered. A very logical and generally a good wake-up call for us. We will be studying, starting at page 81, if you have a copy of the Ramadan session, and the subtitle we'll begin with is called The Prophet in His First Life, a Sign Best of the Best of Man in His First Evolution. Alhamdulillah, we left off with the acknowledgement by Imam Muhammad that Muhammad created as the potential to take man to the destiny. That was his sign and purpose, created purpose. And of course, it passes on, or what we say, it endures to all of the human beings that were created in that mold, wonderful mold of Adam. And Prophet Muhammad down to the modern time, some 1,400 years ago, when the Quran was revealed by Allah. As-salamu alaykum, everyone. So Imam Muhammad begins. He says, I'm sure we can compare the Prophet in his state before revelation with that man, because the Prophet refused to worship any of those gods before he even became Prophet. And he had that excellent behavior. So he's also a sign in his first life of the best of man in his first evolution. He had the best of human sensitivities, the best appreciation for the intellectual excellence of man, for business, proper manners, for proper speech, proper judgment. He had all that before he was made prophet. In fact, we don't see much change in him as a person from the time he was before to what he was after revelation. The only change we see in him is the change in his intellectual ability, mostly. But he was the same kind of personality and same kind of rational man before the Quran. So Allah must have created him. Nothing and no one can be given credit for that except Allah. Here, he comes with revelation, that he didn't get revelation before. But you know the great opening of progress for the Muslims came after the Prophet ascended and came down again. Then the government started and Medina came. And dear believers, listeners, I'm going to encourage you, please take copious notes if it suits you, but be ready in your thinking and perspective if you have an idea or a question or comment, please, is welcomed. You simply need to press 1. That will bring you into the queue. And when time comes for Imam Michael, he will open your mic and you are free to speak. Inshallah. Mike, I'm going to continue. So Imam Muhammad said, if in that time and I was an intellectual, I would have taken pride in my possessing the knowledge of man's intellect as the sun for man's society. The sun for man's society. And was interpreting that from the myth of Osiris or any other of those gods. And then I hear this of the prophet. Can you see the greater Set? Now, ear, he is paid a compliment to my pride and is giving me a likeness of the idea of man already, but making it so much more significant to me now and giving it to me in a much richer form, greater form, that I would now put down the little small light that I had and take the big light. But the big light is telling me that God recognizes the small light. He doesn't recognize shirk, but God recognizes the small light, the small symbol. This symbol, in its small perception, God recognized it and shows him how this thing is working in the soul and mind of man. Actually, the workings of God that he would one day open up for man in his intellect so that he sees, hears what God wants you to come, this ideal. It's very critical what we're talking about now. It's critical for language. Here, they're using a language and they call their symbol God, right? We know this Quran is not God. It's the revelation of God. That's the difference. Title, The Divine in Man Does Not Make Him God. Imam Muhammad said they saw the revelation in God. We see the revelation as revelation, not God. The revelation is God's light. But now, his light is revelation, and it comes into man. Should we say Prophet Muhammad had no divine entity in him? We would be absolutely wrong. If he had the Quran in him, he had a divine entity of divinity in him. But was that him? No. That's the difference. Before, they said the divine in the man made the man God. No. The divine in the man does not make the man God. That's the light, revelation of God in him. That's the new life that God put in him. That's a higher life for him, greater life for him, serving him as guidance.
Mohammed?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I have something that I would like to share, a very brief comments
with you.
Please,
go ahead.
To share so far.
Okay.
It says the prophet in his first life.
If I may interrupt you, excuse me for interrupting you. Could you speak a little closer to the mic, please?
Okay, yes. All right. Praise the Lord.
The paragraph
that starts, the prophet in his first life assigned assigned best of the best of man in his first evolution. So that's letting me know that the character of Prophet Muhammad, even before him receiving revelation, is in every human being. That innocence, that honesty, that a merciful character, that peace that he was sharing with humanity before he received revelation, that for me, that is a sign of what Almighty God placed in our father Adam. In speaking of the Prophet Muhammad, Allah says, and we sent the light down with him. And I'm referring that to the first light was his pristine human character. Whatever Allah placed in Adam and placed in the essence of our Prophet Muhammad is within us. I'll just stop right there, my sister. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Alhamdulillah. Perspicuously clear. Thank you, Imam Kareem. And that's such a boost, I'll use that simple word, to our spirit. Because in this world, there's so much distraction and misinterpretation of the essence of the human nature. That's that original nature that you're speaking about. And your comments have perspicuously clarified that. Gives me a good feeling inside, too, because it reinforces something that no one can change. No one can obliterate that.
This
and
also
especially,
speaks to,
say it again.
This also speaks to a correction of how most in the world under scripture, classical scripture, have been shown man, and it's very problematic in terms of how it affects our intellect to be told from scripture that man is born in sin.
This
is a great healing, a great excuse me. This is a great healing to the soul, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
understand from the last guidance of God that the human essence, the human beginning of man is not in sin, but in the natural excellence God has placed within it. I'll stop there.
Michael, that's so profound and such a reminder of us to not be dissuaded or marginalized or just misconstrue the truth of Allah's creation of the human being, his purpose for it, right, and his destiny. Thank you so much. So as we continue with the subtitle, the word has the divine nature in it. Imam Muhammad said, it's not of his nature. There are no three natures, only one nature. The mortal nature is his nature, and divine nature is God, for God, you see. But his word is divine, isn't it? And his word has the divine nature in it. You can't say it doesn't. We have to know that it does. The word has the divine nature in it. It's not human. Allahu Akbar. And this is what we feel. Allah makes it palpable to us. I'm just inserting that. And at specific times, occasions, Allah will make us aware of that so we can respect it and aspire, increase our aspirations of achievement. And the best, we say, following the best thereof, inshallah. Okay, I'll continue. Michael, let me know if anyone has pushed on the one, and we'll stop and allow them to speak. Subtitle. Yes.
Yes, I'm in the host queue. I'll inform you if someone is pressing on the phone.
Produce Quran. If they think any human can do this, let them all get together and join with the company of the ranks of the jinn. The army of jinn can work on it for as long as they want to work on it, and they won't be able to produce one line, one ayah. So it's clear to us that this is not mortal. The Quran is divine. And if it's in the mortal is not that. And that is not the mortal. That is divine. And mortal is mortal. But the mortal coming with it brings us both the divine and the mortal. But we must keep them separate. You see how the concept looks the same, and it's just a critical dimension of language? That makes us understand that they were wrong and we are right.
Excuse me,
yes.
There is proof of that, of the separation of divine and mortal, in that the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, would render an opinion, and his companions would ask, is this a revelation or is this your opinion? And the Prophet would inform them that it was his opinion and not revelation, pointing to the battle of the trench. The Prophet Muhammad had his plan for the war, for that battle. Mm-hmm. And then there was a companion from Persia. I can't remember his name, but he was from Persia. And he asked the Prophet, Are these plans, were they revealed to you? And the Prophet said, no. Then the Persian offered another opinion based upon the expertise that he had coming from Persia. They use a trench to protect them from the warring enemy. And he offered that opinion, and it was accepted by the Prophet and everyone with him. That's an excellent example of the separation of divine and mortal. The brother had sense enough to ask, was this revealed to you from Allah? I'll stop right there, my sister.
This is profound, this example that you're sharing with us, because it confirms and conforms to what Allah has asked us to do with our intellect. The most important gift, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that was given to the human being by Allah, to use our rationale and our logic, following the logic to a logical conclusion, to use that which he gave us. I really appreciate you giving this example, because this is a time in space where we need this encouragement. And those who are able to make the distinction between opinion and revelation. and that they both have their place with Allah, because we express through our thinking and opinion doesn't mean we are challenging Allah. And many times it's projected like that to diminish the value and the importance of thinking, of having an opinion and bringing it forward. So this warrior asked to be sure whether Prophet Muhammad, what he was sharing, peace be upon him, was his own thinking or was it from Allah? Was it a revelation? And Prophet Muhammad told the truth. He shared it. And so those stratagems, which are many times, especially today, critical to our advancement and success in whatever challenges or tests we are meeting as a group or as individuals, we have to be able to hear the difference, know the difference, and maximize the value of our thinking. I thank you again so much. That's beautiful. So Imam Muhammad goes on, can't you see now, Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, as he was presented, hearing this, shedding tears, and they became the prophet's best followers. You know?
You missed a line.
Okay, thank you, Michael. I just saw that. Okay, thanks. I'll go back. Can't you see now, Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, as he was presented, hearing this, shedding tears? Quote, oh, look at this great mercy, respecting what we believe, but clearing it up for us, so we will not be guilty of shirk. Unquote. And they became the prophet's best followers. You know, he had a few outstanding ones from the Meccans, but the great help to the prophet in time came from other lands and from Africa. The Moors out of Africa brought great progress for Al-Islam in Spain for about 500 to 700 years. And the light that came down with him, quote unquote. And we know this if we studied our history, just going to interject this, the history of the African Americans or Africans, as we were formerly known, and the blessing through the use of our intellect that we brought to the practice and understanding and application of the Deen al-Islam. We were able, with the help of the Christians, to transform life in a peaceful state for about 500 to 700 years. That's an amazing amount of time to be at peace and advancing the learning. Inshallah, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, subtitle, Allah has blessed me more than he blessed.
Excuse me, Muhammad. You left a very important consistent sentence at the end of the last paragraph. And the light. Would you share that, please?
Yes, I had said it, but it got lost. I'll be happy to repeat it. That's okay. No problem. Quote, unquote. And the light that came down with him. Would you like to say something further about that?
Well, no. That only should reinforce what we are, and to how can I say, to try to reach that state that we be again with, the pristine
mm-hmm.
original human nature that
mm-hmm.
God sends it down with every last one of us. The
mm-hmm.
life that speaking of the Prophet Muhammad, Allah in the Quran mentions him, and the life
mm-hmm.
that came down with him. So
that's right.
That is prior to our Prophet Muhammad receiving revelation.
Yeah. Is that the Imam Muhammad?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, pardon me.
Well, I was just going to enhance as we go back to a couple paragraphs ago. What you're saying is something he reiterated. He says, now, here, he has paid a compliment to my pride and giving me a likeness of the idea of man already, but making it so much more significant to me now and giving it to me in a much richer form, greater form, that I would now put down the little small light that I had and take the big light. The big light is telling me that God recognizes the small light. He doesn't recognize, sure, alhamdulillah, but God recognizes the small light, the small symbol. This symbol, in its small perception, God recognizes it and shows him how this thing is working in the soul and mind of man. I'll
beautiful.
Stop right there and proceed. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank Allah. So Imam Muhammad says, I'm going to tell you all this, and please erase this on the tape if you don't think you can manage it. Imam Muhammad is so liberal and considerate. He allows, he said, erase it if you can't manage it. This is the honest to God truth. And I know what a lot of my supporters think about me. If I didn't know the truth, I would think I was a prophet, because I'm sure things have come to me more than have come to prophets, not all prophets, but many prophets, I'm sure, never received what I received. I'm just telling the truth, and this doesn't make me emotional or anything. It doesn't. I'm humble, very humble. So you all are blessed. I'm not joking. You're blessed. I'm blessed. And you all are blessed. And really, you all are blessed. Well, we bear witness to that, inshallah. Imam Muhammad says, I'll put it this way. We're blessed. Because by myself, there is no blessing, and I wouldn't get a blessing by myself. Yes, sir, I do, and I know you all do. Don't underestimate what you all have got here. Allah has blessed me more than he blessed many prophets, and I'm not a prophet, never was a prophet, never will be a prophet, and I'm not a messiah, nothing more than a man that has been educated by the Quran and helped along by Allah, by God. What is that phrase? When the Basharan Mintlikum, can you help me with that?
Yes,
yes, yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, a flesh and blood mortal like you all. Speaking
mm-hmm.
of the audience he was addressing, the same content, the content
mm-hmm.
of the human being. And I want to share this because in another class we were addressing the the history of the African American people, and also this identification of prophet and messenger. Prophets, according to the Quran, the sacred Quran, it identifies prophet in a particular focus in terms of scripture being selected by Almighty God Allah for a specific work in the progression of the human being and with the progression of the Word of God. And Imam Muhammad described because in Christianity, the language of prophet in terms of how it's seen is different. You know, Dr. King has been called a prophet. For some, Elijah Muhammad was considered a prophet by virtue of the focus of prophet is described in that scripture, the Holy Bible. But for the Muslim, prophet has a particular focus that I mentioned. And in a lecture identified as super ego, Imam Muhammad described, if you look at the history of the African-American people and the notables within that history helping to aid us come out of darkness, then if it were not for the prophet coming before that history, you would see a prophetic spirit within the African American people. But we don't call it prophet because of how we see as Muslims from the guidance of the Quran, how we see the identification of prophet. But I think that was very significant in terms of when you look at what God has done for us coming out of chattel slavery, you can see a prophetic type spirit, but we don't describe it as such because of how Allah has told us what the prophet is. And so with that reasoning, we can understand what Imam is talking about when he says that he had been given more than some prophets, not all prophets, because we identify messengers as angels and human beings bringing the message, you know. We as followers of Prophet Muhammad, when we follow him in sharing the message of the Quran and his example, we're working within the office of the messenger of God.
I mean, oh, Michael, this is really helpful, so profound, the reasoning that you are sharing, because this is an area, if there's any uncertainty in this perspective, this is room for Shaitan, that spirit, to wiggle his way in and inspire doubt. That's the only thing he inspires. He inspires the doubt. Well, he says, I'm not too sure of that. Look at it this way. Those are the suggestions and whispers that we're constantly assaulted by. So it is only in what Imam Muhammad is saying here. He says, Allah has blessed me more than he blessed many prophets. That's not a competitive thing where he's saying, you know, like Shaitan said, I'm better than him. That's what Shaitan said to Allah, Iblis, when he refused to bow down as Allah. He said, because I'm better, right? Why should I bow down to something that I intrinsically see as inferior? I'm superior, right? That's what Iblis said. And Allah said, well, tell you what's going to be your reward for that. Right, because since you want to prove me wrong, your Lord who created you, you want to prove me wrong and show me where I made a mistake. It's like we say nowadays, what's up with that? Okay? So this is, again, a clarification that Imam Muhammad is impressing, because he keeps saying it, so we'll get it. Okay? And really recognize the blessing inherent in the mercy of Allah as he has raised up. As he has raised up a tradition of leadership guided by the divine mercy and blessings of Allah. It's no accident that we have evolved under the chain of leadership as it has come. Maybe we don't consider it, you know, the Marcus Garveys, the Frederick Douglasses, the W.E.B. Du Boises, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his son. Maybe we're not making that connection there, but it is a connection that Imam Muhammad does not want us to miss, because it's a connection. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to stop. I want to hear what you're going to say. He doesn't want us to miss the opportunity that Allah's evolution of us to convert us into a new people, a new-minded people. Even in our material sense, there's a newness in our creation for the destiny that he's promised us. Go ahead, Imam Kareem.
The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, have said it himself. He told his companions that those that come after us will understand this greater than you that are present.
Yes.
So that, you know, we are confronted with circumstances and situations that the Quran addresses, but was not a circumstance and situation that existed in the life of those people at that time.
That's
so
right.
We are addressing circumstances and situations from the Quran. And as far as a prophet, Imam Muhammad has said, all of us have a degree of prophet in us. Mm-hmm. And I thought on that, and he's correct. When we see and understand the pattern in creation, we notice that there's a pattern there from small to large. That's a pattern. And once we see that pattern, and we understand it, and we have lived and experienced repeated demonstration in the nature and the pattern of life, then we're able to predict upon the established pattern and the experiences of our life, sometimes what the outcome will be based upon that pattern that we have observed, lived, and experienced. I'll stop right there, my sister.
Well, can you imagine, Imam Kareem, and then we will go on, but what you bring to my mind is the example of that, the actual fact of that, as we have been carried along and reminded of the leadership, the evolution of that leadership under divine impact that has caused us to succeed, actually, right? It get the victory in spite of conditions, like Brother Michael was saying, environment and conditions that would say otherwise. We have persevered with patience and constancy. That was the legacy that was given to us by our forefathers, our grandparents, you know, when they we're asked questions, and at the level of the understanding of the younger generations that didn't quite make sense to the younger generation, because, like my mother used to say, just live long enough. What you don't understand now, if you keep the faith and live long enough, you will come to the understanding. Always her conclusion when we, in our little minds, our childhood minds, our inexperienced minds, just didn't quite get it. Michael, you were going to say something.
Yes, if I may. The Word of God has progressed and has helped to progress the mind of the mind and soul of a human being. And
yes.
Almighty, if we take this focus that Imam Muhammad has given us, we can see a greater context of the suffering of the African Americans in here in America.
Mm-hmm.
That by God's command, there never was a time that he was absent from those horrible things that shaped the soul of the African American. And Imam has said that in the book published by Imam Ronald Shaheed, After Difficulty, dealing with the folk pain and suffering, that Allah has permitted us as African Americans to go through suffering in order to be prepared to help the entire group of human beings, you know, progress
mm-hmm.
and come to a greater social life for us all. And so somebody had to live during the time of judgment. And so here we all are, but we have this progression that's taking place. And Imam is showing the mercy of God by giving one from among us clear perception, fresh eyes in terms of relating scripture and establishing ourselves on the word of God.
Alhamdulillah, you remind me of the fact that one of the most notable behavioral characteristics among the African Americans being brought into slavery, captive in slavery, through slavery, into the new world, was the fact that they didn't despair. This is what we are known for. Even the historians from other countries and situations, when they look for the retrieving fact of how we made it through, they consistently arrive at the fact that we never gave up on God, nor did we ever blame God.
That's right.
I believe we should pause now for some important public service. An announcement at your leave.
Yes, please go ahead. We can take a good break right now. And inshallah, please, listeners, stay with us. If you have the desire to share something, please push one so that you're will come into the queue. And Brother Kareem will see it when we return. If you have something to share, we would like for him to open your mic. But Brother Kareem, we ready for a station break? Alhamdulillah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, The Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, The Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
What is American Muslim 360, you ask? It's hard hitting.
You don't have any peace, and our people have been tricked. And if you got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth, wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated. Huh? We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change and has changed. Grown men, I don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
The federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year, or roughly 14% of the federal budget, on doing business in the private sector with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a silent killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Alcor Ann.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of time to pray, and it is during this time in your reading of Quran that it may be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people. And it's all about the deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in all of America.
And we are back. Mohassan Salam Abdullah.
Assalamu alaikum. I got a new name. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Kareem, and welcome back to our listeners.
I'm sorry for butchering your name.
No butchering. There's always a reason why Allah allows us those glitches. So I like to ponder, what does Allah mean by this? But anyway, we're quite familiar. There are no mistakes, only areas in which Allah gets our attention. So thank you, Brother Kareem, for that break. What beautiful PSAs, public service announcements, and commercials AM 360 has produced and project, which really give us insight into what we see as a honored and essential purpose of broadcasting. We are the number one broadcasting network, Islamic broadcasting network, in the nation. And as we top out our 600,000 listeners, we may have to extend that to the world concept. And we thank Allah for gracing us, expanding our energies, our assertion at being, what do we say, the Muslim is one who, when he seeks to do a thing, seeks to do it with excellence, not perfect. We're not perfect, but we are not afraid to challenge the extremities of our excellence as Allah has blessed and benefited us with, and all of humanity. It's not just something that we possess individually. Now, before we continue, Imam Kareem, I'm going to have to take a break that will last about 30 minutes at this time. I am due in to address another commitment, but inshallah, this is such dynamic information from Imam W.D. Muhammad. I can't wait to get back in the next half hour, approximately 6:30. So will you all please continue the reading, starting with God will teach the reviver for me,
yes.
And inshallah, I will return.
Thank you.
Yes, Michael shall fill in for you until
okay.
your return.
Inshallah. All right. Inshallah.
Thanks.
Assalamu alaikum. And inshallah, I'll be back. Okay.
All right. We continue. Page 82, God will teach the reviver. And this is the hadith. It says, God will teach him, talking about one after Prophet Muhammad, coming after Prophet Muhammad, that he will not only be guided, he will be a guided one, and God will teach him himself. You see, that's the difference. Believe me, I don't want you talking about this. This is just for us. That's the difference between the Christ and the Mahdi. The Mahdi is one who is blessed by God to continue the work of Muhammad, where the Messiah, the Christ, was promised that others would come behind him. And the Bible says there are many Christs. Christ many. So the Jews believe in a Messiah after Moses. The Christians believe in also the Jesus, that some of their people will be illuminated. Their minds will be illuminated, and they will not be Christ, but they will be like the heirs of Christ, one guided by God. So the people of Moses, they believe in an heir to Moses. The people of Christ Jesus believe in an heir to him called Messiah, or a Messiah figure. And Muhammad established that after him will come the same thing, the Mujaddid, or Mahdi, one guided by God, meaning he's guided by God. He has the Huda. He's blessed with the Huda, the Mahdi, the one that comes in the Ummah of Muhammad. And there are many that have come before, and perhaps maybe there's some besides me right now. I don't know. Somewhere, that one, he must resemble the Prophet in his method of communicating the religion. And he must be like the Prophet and not listen to others to guide him, you see? Muhammad, not the father of any of your sons. And the thing we should know about him, this one, is that he is not a son or heir of the Prophet, like they made the mistake in Islam, thinking that some of their illuminated ones are the heirs of the Prophet. No, no one can be the heir of the Prophet. No one can be his heir. He's not father of any of your sons. Now, we know the incident and what this is addressing directly, but try to make it fit perfectly with that incident. Try to make it fit with that incident. You can't do it because they say this is referring to his adopted son. They knew that wasn't his blood son, and they knew that he would never become an heir in the religion. He wasn't qualified for that. There were so many others that qualified for that. So that's put in that context. Actually, that's not the context for understanding it. God can guide us back to what he has given to Muhammad. The context for understanding it is the Rabbi. They always look for a son of the Father before him, and even their prophets, a lot of the prophets. The prophet was continued by a son of that prophet. And if he's got no son, oh, they were in such a gloom, dreading it. Quote, oh, no son? Like for Abraham, no son who's going to continue the prophethood? No son? So it's given in the Quran. He's not the father of any of your sons, but he is the what? The messenger of God. It could have said he is the last prophet. No, he is the messenger of Allah, meaning that nobody else is going to get a message like this. He's not only the last prophet, he's the last one to get this Quran. All we can do is be blessed by God, inspired by God, to get out of the Quran a reading of what the prophet was giving to the followers when he was living with them, just as though he's still living with us. But he can't do it. He's gone. He's only a model. But God can do it. God can guide us back to what he has given to Muhammad. But now, he was the teacher giving it. You are not going to get anything except some of what he gave. That's all you're going to get. I doubt if you get all of what he was prepared to give or all of what he gave. I doubt it. No, we won't, because we will never equal Prophet Muhammad. Muhammad is all the possibilities for man's growth. This is wonderful. He is the Rajul Tamun. That means that all the possibilities for man's growth is Muhammad. So we don't expect ever, we don't expect to ever equal Prophet Muhammad. But as a society, we can not only equal the society that he formed, we can surpass it by cosmic miles. The proof of that is right now. They talk about the Ummah, the glory, and of the original Ummah. But with the progress that we have made in the sciences and the natural sciences and for the human intellect, if we get the enlightenment now that Prophet Muhammad was given, oh, we'll have a world that we will make that world look mighty small. Follow the Prophet in his excellence. We can't make that virtuous mark they had, the human virtues they had. The best we can do is nothing but follow them. We can't make, follow them in excellence, pardon me. It says, follow the Prophet and follow the first of the leaders. Follow them how? In their excellence. It didn't just say follow them as persons. Don't follow him as a person. Follow his excellence. Appreciate his excellence. And follow that excellence. That's what Allah says, follow them. Actually, if we follow Prophet Muhammad as a person, we may be eventually guilty of shirk, the term sunnah used too much. It says, quote, uswatan hasana, unquote, right? What qualifies his uswa to be a model for us? The hasana, quote, is uswatan hasanatain. So they followed the prophet and the light that came down with him, right? And these are two different ones. The light is the guidance of God, and the prophet is his uswatan hasana, right? We not only know the uswatan hasana, now it is guiding us with the Quran. So the excellence of the prophet, we follow the excellence of the prophet. His, they say, sunnah. I don't like the term sunnah. We use it too much. We should just say follow the prophet. That's enough. Allah doesn't say follow his sunnah. In Quran, it says follow him. So now, because of the Shiite, the split division, there is a need for one side to say, quote, this is how we perceive him, unquote. So they start using the term, quote, sunnah, unquote, to say, this is how we perceive him. And they establish what is sunnah. In the time of the prophet, what established what was the prophet? His role as a messenger of God and his character, that's what established what was the prophet. The light, the Quran, how he delivered it, and his own character established what was the prophet. If you read back there, before the passing of the prophet, who lives, he's not dead. When we read of them back there, nobody uses the term sunnah. Quote, we heard the prophet say, unquote, or saw the prophet do it this way. Then later, those people used the term sunnah. So here the Muslim community on this earth is plagued by a division that was started way back there and all these lesser ones. But the biggest problem is Shiite. That's the biggest division, troublesome division, because these others, they'll never be recognized. Over the years, I've told you all, I played down the importance of us being identified as Sunni, and that's because I see a problem with it. We favor the Sunni in their understanding of Islam over the Shiite. That's clear, definite, no doubt, but I'm not comfortable with either one. That's the honest and goodness truth. I have to tell you, and I told them, they know it. The way I treated it, I let them know I'm not comfortable with this language, sunnah, the sunnah of the prophet, the sunnah of God. Sunnah means the established pattern of behavior, the way we view the activities or the things that were seen by the observer. That's the sunnah. And the religious community, I'm going all the way back, going way back to Adam. The religious community over the generations formed a view, their idea of the sunnah of God, perceived that God does things this way, that God did this, because we recognize the sunnah, the way that God does things. So upon that knowledge of the way that God does things, we say that God did this. So they, over the many generations, they formed their idea of what is the sunnah of God. And again, Allah respects the pride of man, especially if it can be justified or if it can be accepted. So in the Quran is the language, quote, the sunnah of Allah, unquote. That language is in the Quran, his sunnah, God's sunnah. Now, if we don't have some cautioning, don't you know in time somebody, another sect, is going to come up and say the sunnah of Allah is over the sunnah of the prophet? This thing just leads to nothing but trouble down the road. Debate over the Sunni and Shiite ideas is leading to the slow demise of the Islamic community on this earth. Wow, that's a big statement. Continuing. And the debate over how we're to see the leader. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. The imam statement, I have seen it materialize, and I've heard the debate over it. There are some Muslims that give a lot of weight and a lot of credit to the hadith.
Yes.
And there are some communities that give a lot of credit to the Quran. What has happened in the Islamic world is that they have focused solely upon the Quran and left the uswa, the character of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace be upon him. So that is something that has happened, and it is being corrected. Matter of fact, we have spoke to that, you know, the idea of placing the hadith, giving it so much weight over the Quran, that causes a problem, because some hadith are very weak. The transmitters of the hadith are suspect, and there is a collection of hadith that is so off the mark, that is so untrue, that they have been named as Israeli hadith, Israeli hadith. Matter of fact, the idea of Shiite is an Israeli Jewish concept. Let me say it again. Is a Jewish concept that was introduced by a portion of the Jews. So having the proper balance and the proper understanding of the language, the sunnah of Allah, that is God's will and God's way, the sunnah of Allah.
Yeah.
And coupled with that is the character of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. If you speak angrily toward another human being, if you reach a point of disrespect of another person, you have left behind the Prophet Muhammad. It is the way we carry out the Quran. There is a spirit that has to accompany that. None can touch it except those with a pure heart. And as we just shared, the Prophet Muhammad had a pure heart even before revelation. So if we would focus more on the excellent character of the Prophet Muhammad, we'll be more successful with the Quran. So I have heard Muslims speak to one another in a very disrespectful way. The wars that Muslims have among themselves, armed conflict, that's a clear sign that they have left the Ustah of Prophet Muhammad. So
yeah.
Praise be to Allah, Imam Muwafiqin Muhammad is giving some balance and clarity to the language and what the language really means. I'll stop right there, my brother.
Yes, thank you. And this Ramadan session, Volume 1, this particular reading that we're having this afternoon, clearly shows a high degree of perception in terms of issues within the Muslim community, issues in understanding. The Imam is even looking down the road in terms of how, and this was like 1993, I think it's March of 1993, when this session was held. And the Imam mentioned the focus that God sends a Mahdi, as he described it, a Mujaddid. These are issues that the Imam didn't want us to get.
Michael, we have a caller on the line. If you're ready to receive them,
yes,
at this time,
please.
Okay. And of course, 301-598. Welcome to the Contemplations of Imam Wajdi bin Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Sister Debbie.
Alaykum as-salam. I thought I recognized that. No. Come on in. How you doing?
This is a wonderful show. Just absolutely fabulous.
Praise to Allah.
Thank you. And
I really believe that the African-American Muslims are the ones that are going to establish Islam in America completely. That's my feeling.
Thank you. I agree wholly with your feeling. And it's because of you continue in terms of what you're saying. We appreciate you joining us.
Well, I feel just that knowing everyone in American Muslim 360, that Allah has planned to establish Islam on a major level in this world and also in America. And I feel he's given that over to the African-American Muslims to do this because they are most receptive to him at this point.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you saying that. And it's something to consider, you know, and there's nothing wrong with us questioning in terms of, how did this happen? You know, but clearly Almighty God rewards his sincere servants. And the environment that was created under chattel slavery would cause any human being to question, where the heck is God? You know, where are you, Lord? You know, but there was a group among those in chattel slavery that, in spite of the horrendous conditions, the terrible conditions, the inhumane conditions, they held on to belief in Almighty God. And certainly Scripture, the Bible, and the Quran tell us how Almighty God rewards his servants for our faith, and he supports our faith, and he will increase our faith. You know, I'm in agreement with you, Sister Debbie, and not only that. you're standing on truth. You're standing on what God loves.
Yes, yes. No, I'm just, mashallah. I'm just laughing because to hear you in agreement with me really makes me feel very good.
Praise be to God. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't support what God loves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, this is a beautiful time because we have the struggle to resist the Satan's call to come out of the pristine nature that Almighty God has given us as human beings. And we also are supported in this time where there's a language that they use. It's a paradigm shift going on. You know, women
mm-hmm.
are being brought into their excellence and, you know, their dignity after hundreds of years of being told from the religion that the women didn't have a soul. The women were supportive of the devil and his plan. You know, they were accomplices and all kinds of, you know, negative things about mother leadership, female leadership. So this is a time where all that's being corrected. You know, the paradigm is shifting, and we're coming to understand how powerful the role of Scripture is you know, in the life of the human being. And the corrections that are being made are wonderful to see taking place. But we appreciate you. You're one of the allies that we have during this time. And Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he told us that, you know, we come into a time where there's accepting the struggle with our own inner life and also forming alliances, you know, and that's what's going on.
Definitely.
So we thank you, dear sister.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And now this gets gooder and gooder, this reading. Excuse me, I'm a bit excited because I kind of went ahead in the reading, and I see where this light gets brighter and brighter. So we're continuing with debate over the Sunni and Shia ideas is leading to the slow demise of the Islamic community on this earth. Continuing. And the debate over how we're to see the leadership in Islam, the Sunni idea and the Shia idea, leads to disunity and actually the slow demise of the Islamic community on this earth. That's what it's leading to. They can't convert the Shia, and the Shia can't convert them. You get a few going over, crossing lines, but basically they stay the same. They're not growing that much. They stay with their percentage, and the Sunnis stay with their percentage. They're not affecting each other in terms of reducing the numbers or increasing the numbers. That tells us something. Is this thing going to go like this to the end of time? If nobody can end this thing, it's the Muslims, pardon me, anybody can end this thing. It's the Muslims of America. I'm telling you, the Muslims of America, they can't end it because they are enemies of each other. They can't end it because they're enemies of each other. But if another party comes up, a neutral party, especially from America, it's possible that God intends, it's in God's plan, that we actually end this division for Muslims, division of Sunni and Shia. And I'm telling you, I have the will, spirit, and determination to do something about it in my life. Not that I can end it, but I'm trying to appeal to their senses, and I don't intend to stop. I'll never intend to establish myself as a Sunni, not in their sense. No, never. And I don't like it that you all call yourselves Sunni Muslim. You never hear me call myself a Sunni Muslim. No, don't say Sunni Muslim. Don't say you're not. Don't say you're not, but don't say you are. But say you're not a Shia Muslim. You see? Don't say you're not a Sunni Muslim, but don't say you are a Sunni Muslim. But say you're not Shia, because the Shia, they have allowed religions other than Islam to influence their concept of God and also their concept of the prophet. And I can prove it. No idea of 12 imams in Islam. Continuing. There is no idea of 12 in Islam. So where does this 12 come from? This 12 is in the people of the book. It comes from them. There is no idea of any inheritance by blood in Islam. Where did they get it from? From religion that was before, from other religions. There is no idea of somebody coming and having an immortal body in a human being and staying on this earth for 500 years. And we're going to see him after 500 years. Nobody can find any concept like that in Quran or in the prophet's teaching. There is nothing to justify that idea. So their idea is shirk. And Allah shows us with their behavior that they're not the followers of the prophet. We know there are exceptions. We find some Shia among them that are an exception. There's always going to be an exception, somebody that's different. He's behaving this way and not inclined to go to the extremes of Shiaism. You'll find them. I met some beautiful Shia Muslim brothers, but the rule is not that. Imam Khomeini, may God forgive him his errors and grant him paradise. I don't believe he was conscious of any sins he made or errors. They're innocent, sincere, devoted to God, stronger than maybe some of us are. But that doesn't mean they're right. People were devoted to idols more than they were devoted to the guidance of God that came to Prophet Muhammad. That's why it's mentioned in the Quran that you're supposed to glorify Allah more than you glorify your fathers. Obviously, they hadn't come into an enthusiasm, an excitement for their devotion that measured what they showed for the idols and their fathers. So just because they're Muslims, Shia, or whatever they're called, and even Sunni, because they have this great devotion to Allah and everything, that doesn't mean they're right. They could be guilty of shirk. Matters in Al-Islam are judged by intentions. We only get this opportunity once a year, except for those who are seeing me regularly. We talk, but we never have an opportunity like this. We have to see the Shia as Muslims because matters in Islam are judged by intention. They have been guided wrong and hurt. Persecution and cruelty to them has to be a reason or basis for us giving them extra or uncommon, unusual consideration. We have to give them more than just the ordinary consideration. When you look at the persecution and the way they were treated, I don't think this thing developed that quickly. I think first they just loved the Khalifa Ali, and perhaps just because they're missing him a lot and loved him a lot for what he taught. He was a great teacher, and he was a beautiful soul. So I think because of that, the others didn't favor that. You have Arabs that identify directly with the bloodline of the prophet because of their race. Now here's a group that separates, and they start to give Ali a lot of importance. But the Arabs, their caliph, that they admire the most is not Ali. You know that? For most Arabs, Ali is not the one that they admire the most. The ones that they admire the most are Abu Bakr and Umar. So now there are people that have seen something in Ali, the beauty, I think. They were attracted to Ali, his human sweetness, for want of a better expression. So I think they were attracted to him. We have people of different sentiments, you see. So we'll be attracted to that. There's nothing wrong with that. And those that are of Mecca and typical Arab, they are not with that kind of personality. The typical Arab is a rough man or stiff man. Medina is special. But most of the Arabs are rough people and stiff people. I say stiff. I won't say proud. No, they can be very warm. They can sit down with you and become very humble. And though he's high up, he can become very humble and cordial and affectionate and everything. They can become that, but that's not their pride. Their pride is roughness. So the tender-hearted believers, perhaps they didn't like the personalities that were leading them, and then they turned to Ali, saying, quote, oh, we should have gotten Ali. continuing, no sect in Al-Islam. Now, the separation comes and they're forced to form two parties. I say party. There's no sect because there's no sect allowed in Islam. They form their own party and the party becomes a sect because they go outside shopping for concepts for their party. So the conclusion is of this last concern I've been speaking on. It is that we have to accept them as Muslims, good Muslims, because many of them are. But in terms of their perception, we have to know that they are enslaved Muslims under bondage or shirk. It is shirk to believe what they believe, though. They don't make Ali a god, but they give him the attention that would be given a son of God. Am I right or wrong? If you know anything about it, and if I told them this, they can't argue with me. They invited me to New York to their meeting. And some of you heard what I said there. They didn't give me any argument for what I said there. In fact, looks like they loved me and appreciated it. But they can't change. Who knows? Maybe what I said, maybe it's a germ working. And if we keep talking, maybe that germ eventually will neutralize the poison, especially coming from a neutral person. They can't accept anything coming from a Sunni because that's their enemy. So we want
Michael?
To treat them. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Part of the argument was that there were some that believed that Ali should have been the caliph.
Yes.
Only based upon his blood relationship with the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him.
Yes.
That is a bone of contention there. There is no blood heir, or no, you know, as the Imam mentioned, there is no, the son becomes a prophet because his father was a prophet. The family of Prophet Muhammad was not given prominent position due to their blood relationship with him.
Yes.
They chose the best thereof, the character of Abu Bakr, not the bloodline of Ali. That is being addressed, and it needs to be addressed more. I'll stop right there.
Okay. And it's good to study with the good sources, literature sources on Al-Islam.
That's right.
The Sirah, the history of Al-Islam. And I can understand why Imam Muhammad said that if he had not come through teachings of the lost foundation of Islam in the wilderness of North America, he might never have, or he wouldn't have, become Muslim, because there are a lot of problematic issues involved that we see in the history of Al-Islam, the struggles. I mean, look, the fighting that took place after the death of the Prophet, even one of the individuals who was highly respected in the Sunni, quote-unquote, Sunni focus of expression of this deen, al-Islam, he was willing to the life of anyone that said that Prophet Muhammad was dead, you know, and that's problematic. it sounds like he had a meltdown in today's language, you know. But Abu Bakr, who's also highly respected in the Sunni Sunni focus of this way of life, Abu Bakr took a strategy that I think is very, and I think Imam Muhammad exercises this strategy, where Abu Bakr did not address the meltdown of Omar directly by speaking with Omar. He called on the people to remember what the word of God said, told them, if you're believing in the prophet, you know, and the prophet is dead, you know, if you believe the prophet, you know, and Allah told us that, you know, the prophet is a human being like us, well, Allah is alive, you know. Allah lives, you know. So that strategy of calling on the word of God, reminding the people of what the Quran said, and I find that Imam Muhammad is very sensitive to the strategies, not just one, but the strategies and the logic in the Quran to help us navigate some of these different human interactions, because you know that's the nature of life. We have to deal with these different relationships, and we have to be aware that the wise challenge the foolish and the foolish challenge the wise. You know that people will leave their good senses sometimes, you know, but that we all know what Dr. Phil and some of these other clinicians say, you know, and thank God for that we're getting a little, you know, we're getting in the public some idea and awareness of human psychology and how it operates on the positive as well as the negative. And I'll stop there. We'll continue. Mahasan should be joining us.
I am back.
Wonderful.
Allahu Akbar. I have returned in the midst of a really vital exchange here. I'm listening and being further impressed, especially if you finish the paragraph, the term sunnah used too much. I think the Imam rationale and logic helps us to be really clarified about what the two most important elements are, and the model concept, which is what the Prophet left. That's why Imam Muhammad expressed that he didn't too much like the term sunnah. He said
yes.
We actually use it too much, right? We should just say follow the Prophet. And wasn't the most recent publication delivered by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed entitled Follow the Leader?
Yes.
And it replicated in the graphic design on the front page a repetition of follow the leader, follow the leader, follow the leader. And for me, the importance of that is to keep us on track, to actually keep us moving in the direction that Allah prefers through the explicitness of his guidance for us to go, to follow. And Imam Muhammad made mention that where the Arab, predominantly Arab community, companions that supported and followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where they erred was in much of the modeling that the Prophet exemplified. They sort of deviated from that, or they left it. There were other things that became more prominent in emphasis and definition of the guidance of definition of the community of Muslims, things that were substituted as more important, like establishing dynasties and
the followings that were intrinsic to family titles, you know, those type of things began to take a precedent, you know, problematic concepts about wealth, right, and maybe deviating a bit from the system of zakat for the financial stability of the Muslim ummah, the wellness, the well-being of that ummah in terms of everybody. So Imam Muhammad's leadership definitely has called us back, number one, to notice that there was a bit of deviation in that, away from that, and that's something that we should be, our community being evolved forward by Allah, should be careful about, concerned that we may not make the same mistake, the same error, that we make good on what unfortunately deterred those followers before, and that we keep elevating, keep progressing our consciousness, God consciousness, our taqwa in the right vein. That's up right there.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. The approach, the reasoning of the imam in terms of staying neutral in order to help those that deviated, and their perception is unwell, is sick. That's the issue. They're not seeing correctly, and it's causing them to act incorrectly because of the poor perception. So if we stay neutral, as he identified himself, and don't say you're Sunni, but don't say you're not Sunni.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And remember, one of the reminders that is constantly threaded in and out of the imam's presentations and lectures, etc., is that he was always, as he grew up, checking with Allah in his own heart, asking Allah, if I'm not seeing you correctly, help me, correct me. If my perception is not in sync with the light of your revelation, with the light of what the Farad Muhammad, Master Farad Muhammad, brought to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the early Nation of Islam community as they tried to course correct in terms of the falsehood that had come into religion. You know, he said, you know, oh Allah, he depended and requested, begged Allah's help, and all right, let me get my vision right. If I'm missing something, you know, help me.
That's
and
right.
That humility, whew, you talk about humility, because he had been given the title, asked to be the leader. Okay, he could have said, well, everybody in lockstep, follow me, right? Wherever I go, you go, right? But his elemental growth and progression and the humility that Allah blessed him with caused him to say, Allah, I'm depending on you. Help me get it right. Just because I have a title doesn't mean I got it right.
And yes.
If anything, you know, like we say at the end of a presentation, if there's any good you've received from what we have said, it is from Allah. That's where the good guidance is coming from. If there's any errors, then we take full responsibility for that on a personal level. And we ask Allah's forgiveness. Okay, did we have any other listeners chime in?
Dear audience, if you would like to make a comment or share a reflection, we ask you to press 1 to come into the conversation. And we thank you for being with us this afternoon, this evening.
Sister Debbie's hand is still raised. I'm not sure if she wants to make another comment or not, but I'm going to open up her mic. If she does not, that's okay.
I'm doing a lot. This is a really fabulous show. I mean, it is just so important that this gets out there and people listen and people can apply themselves to what you're saying.
Alhamdulillah. So happy to hear your voice and so happy for your presence, your listening presence and your speaking, you know, coming forward to encourage and support the truth of what we are all embracing. Thank you for being here and gracing us with your attention and your presence. We really appreciate you. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
If I may, the Prophet Muhammad, in his last address, he addressed the ethnicity problem when he said there is no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab or a non-Arab over an Arab. In the history and movement of Al-Islam, there were seats of power, and we are aware of the Ottoman Empire. They are of Turkish ethnicity. They are called Turks. And prior to World War I, the European followers injected jealousy among the Arab population, jealousy for the Ottoman Empire. And too many took the bait. And after World War I, the Ottoman Empire lost its stature. So that idea of, I know we consistently speak of the part where the Prophet Muhammad said no superiority of a red over a black. Red was identifying white, and nor a black over a red. But we should pay close attention to the Prophet saying there is no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab, because we know that there are pockets of thought. There are pockets of thought from Arab extraction that believe that they are foremost in the religion of Islam, simply because they are Arab. That is un-Islamic. That is un-Islamic. Allah in the Quran never mentions, he never puts a predicate in front of Muslim. It is just Muslim, not Arab, Jordanian, Shiite, Sunni. It is Muslim. So these are problems that, praise be to Allah, we have given the solution to solve. I'll stop right there.
I think that perception is really, really strategic in us. As we say, we want to stay on the right path, to stay walking the way of Allah. And I think it is essential that we understand that Prophet Muhammad made that distinction and that warning. You know, we think of a prophet as one who brings the good news bringer as well as a warning. So we pray that that warning be understood. Sister Debbie and I have had several conversations over the years of such an enjoyable relationship and connection that Allah, we both believe Allah has made between us as people of faith, believers. Her Christian background, partially Christian and Jewish background, but more Christian influence under the rearing and nurturing of her mother, who was a Christian, and the input of her father, who was from a Jewish background, and then sharing my background as being a Christian origin, a Baptist origin, Southern Baptist, but of parents who were members in what we call the secret society of Masons and the women's group as well as the men group. I remember my father advanced to become a 33rd degree Mason, which the requirement of studying Quran was a part of that advancement, both for my mother and father. And so 2 years after embracing membership in the Nation of Islam, finding that the guidance of Allah was something I felt essential to my family being guided aright, she bestowed upon me. She said her and my father had always wondered which one of their progeny would inherit the Quran. And she brought it out of a place it had been tucked away for years. I had no knowledge that our family possessed a copy of the Quran. And very almost ceremoniously, she presented it to me. She said, "You are the one, because your guidance has guided you to the acceptance of Al-Islam and the acceptance of the Quran, and Allah is your God." I was just amazed, totally amazed that something like that would be a part of my introduction and embracing of a desire to know more, learn more, be more in terms of my Muslim character, and to understand God in his true definition and true nature, self-defined, self-sufficient. So Sister Debbie and I found that we had a lot in common in many ways, and it has resulted in just what Imam Muhammad referred to as the Christians being those who may be closest to us, the Muslims, in love and appreciation. Over time, it's been an ever-growing relationship, I see, engendered by what Allah sees and desires and wants to promote as our human connection. That's the bottom line. The basic of our original nature is that of a human being. So we thank Allah for that. I thank Allah for her and the sensitivities that she brings to her study of Quran and her love of Allah. She always expresses how much she really loves and appreciates seeing the power of Allah working in her life. And, of course, that makes me very appreciative of her. I'm respectful of her, yes.
We have Sister Martha Nyla's mic is open. Sister Martha Nyla, did you want to share something? Your mic is open.
I don't see her number on the board. I don't see her mic open on the board.
727.
Oh, right, there she is.
741. Yeah. The mic is open.
Evidently.
Okay.
Maybe I mistakenly opened
she,
it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, alhamdulillah. But well,
she can certainly come in, Michael, at any time. She's usually maximizing or masterminding in her activities. We've got about 5 minutes to the top of the hour.
Can I finish the paragraph and then yield to you?
Where were you?
Page 86. So we want to treat them just like we treat all other Muslims.
Oh, please, go ahead.
So we want to treat them just like we treat all other Muslims. Love them, although that makes a little trouble for me with the King of Saudi Arabia. When I do that, they don't like it, but I don't care. They invite me, and if I want to go, I'm going to go. If Shiites invite me and I want to go, I'm going to go. Sometimes I'm not going to go. I will treat them as Muslim brothers. After all, Allah blesses us with degrees of knowledge, doesn't he? And it's knowledge that will make you have the right perception of God. It's only knowledge that will make us have the right perception of God. And even in our own ranks, we have to understand that we have good Muslims, and some of them are not seeing Allah correctly. I mean us. They're not seeing Allah correctly. I'm sure you have come upon some. You can tell that something is wrong with the way they're seeing Allah, but a good brother. So why should we hurt that brother or have a confrontation with that brother when we know the confrontation may drive him away from us and he's a good brother? So don't have any confrontations with him. Treat him good, and if he's old, he won't be here too long anyway and is not going to do any damage. Embrace him. Love him, because matters are judged by intention. Stop there.
So if we can utilize any grace time, Brother Michael, please let me know. Would love to continue and still open our mic to hear from any of those who want to share a contribution at this time. We're looking at maybe, what, 10 to 20 minutes grace time, possibly?
I'm not sure.
Okay. We keep
us posted. I believe that we can safely utilize the next 15 minutes. I don't think
okay.
any more. I will alert you as to how much time we have left.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Kareem. Okay, well, we'll move along and give us a sound out when we get close to that period. Please, thank you. So that's really a very important concept or consciousness for us to embrace. As Imam Muhammad talked about the blessing of Allah with giving us degrees of knowledge, right? And us really respecting that perception, respecting that in our interpretation, in the knowledge of seeing Allah correctly. So the next subtitle is Assalamu Alaikum Wallace, quote, unquote. Imam Muhammad said, I could embrace Wallace 30 years ago. If I could meet myself 30 years ago, I'd say, Assalamu Alaikum Wallace. I'm another person now. I'm not Wallace, right? I'm the developed person that I am, but I'm not Wallace. And I meet Wallace that I knew before, but now I don't see myself as Wallace. Wallace is another person. So if I saw right now him walk into this room, young Wallace, 22 years old, Assalamu alaikum, love him, and pure love for him. Why? Because he was pure. He didn't intend any wrong, and matters are judged by intention. So I see some of these pioneers, they are not fooling me. I know they are still with the same ideas of my father and everything, and I embrace them. I love them even more because they love me so much. They don't want to let me know they are still attached to that old idea. So they follow me, and they tell everybody else to follow me. Isn't that the prophet? The pagans, because they were so good in their intentions were right. The prophet kept with them, guarded them as his friends, hugged them, embraced them, and when they died, he prayed for their souls, expressed great grief upon hearing that they were dead. Yea, that's the prophet Muhammad. If we could only follow his sunnah, his uswa hasana, only follow his character, we'd have no problems on this earth. That's strategic. Mm-hmm. The concept of the mujaddid. So the quote-unquote, the prophet is not the father of any of your sons, means that this idea that leadership in religion is by bloodline is done away with. No one inherits Prophet Muhammad, his office. You know, the Ahmadiyyas, they believe that idea, but not through blood, that through enlightenment, that they can inherit the prophet. And the person that's blessed with this will be Muhammad. And they secretly teach it to let others know in their circle that this is the Muhammad. That's wrong. The prophet's line is not to be continued, not to appear in anybody else, not to be inherited by anybody else. That idea is not right in Islam. But we will have mujaddids. Now, none of them will deny that the prophet said, quote, at the head of every 100 years, there will be one to revive or renew the community, a mujaddid, unquote. None will say that this is a weak hadith. They recognize it's a strong hadith that the prophet said that. Every time the society dies, Allah will bless it by her. Imam Muhammad said, we also have a belief.
Excuse me, Mahasan, yes. We have a caller on the line if you're ready to receive them.
Ready to receive. Please open their mic.
Okay. Erico 972-467. Welcome to the Contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. It's not family, Dallas, Texas.
Alaykum as-salam, brother Ishmael. Welcome.
Alhamdulillah. It seems like we're in overtime. Alhamdulillah with the show. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Just quickly, I want to get back to reading. When it says the prophet is not the father of any of your sons, that reminds us that when we look at fathers, we should be looking at Father Adam and Father Ibrahim and not to any others that came, you know, in between or after them. That was my thought on that. Those are the fathers we should focus on the two different fathers. And I just want to add that. Thank you.
Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. Thank you.
Very, very perceptive. Thank you, Brother Ishmael. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does bring that understanding into another dimension also. I hadn't considered that. Alhamdulillah. Please continue to listen. If you have more to add to that, we would welcome it. We will continue. Every time the society dies, Allah will bless it with a reviver. We also have a belief that one will come as the Masih or Mahdi. Masih means Christ and also Mahdi. Why this language? Well, this language is dangerous, you see. So that's why I want to deal with it with you all. I've done it before, but I want to deal with it now. I'm more qualified to deal with it now than I was before. So I want to deal with it again. This language is dangerous. Masi, it means Christ. But it doesn't necessarily mean Christ. What does Christ mean? The cleaned one. The cleaned, anointed. Now, you know they have anointed with oil. But oil was used for cleaning. And still, we clean babies with oil, right? That's true. I think mothers still clean babies with oil. So don't think just of oil itself. The cleaning is the thing. And correct knowledge cleans us of the impurities of incorrect knowledge, doesn't it? And incorrect knowledge will actually make us filthy in society too. Some incorrect knowledge makes us filthy. Cleaning is what we should understand, and actually, masi means to wipe something clean, not to pour some oil on somebody's head. It actually means to wipe it clean. Now, if you can wipe something clean, then that thing was originally clean, wasn't it? The dirt is an addition to the body. It's something that has been put on the body. So the thing is clean from the beginning. So the Masi means one who has been wiped clean, born in the world with the burden of sin of the world on it, but wiped clean. That's the Messiah. How do you say erase in Arabic? Anybody know or remember that term? Do you have a dictionary here? Look up eraser. They have the same origin. So he's white. The dictionary will give you that meaning. But they already have something they call the eraser, and it's wiping the board. And it's of the same word, derived from the same root that we get Messiah. So that's how they were anointed back then. They just wiped. You were not supposed to wash. You just wipe the head. That's a very good observation that Imam Freeman just made. He said, quote, at the top of every 100 years, unquote. Let's look at the word that is for hundred, miat. If you just change the vowels on that word, you get might, dead. Right? 100 is miat, but you won't get the same. But if you change the vowel on that pronunciation, instead of saying miat, you say ma'it. You get death. So we're not to understand 100 years literally, that this is going to come every 100 years. It comes with the death of the society. Every time the society dies, Allah will bless it with a reviver. These are the subtle hints. I'm not talking to cool around here. A few of you all have got some knowledge. Sounding clay. man has to have an ear for how words sound. You know, that language has those subtle hints, and Allah said they believed that man was made from clay. And Allah said, yes. Yes, from sounding clay, potter's clay, that makes a sound, ring. So the wisdom that the guidance gives there, I understand it to be that man has to have an ear for the sound of words, how they sound. So you have dawn, the break of day, and you have darn, to darn the socks for the feet. You can darn anything. Actually, when you think of darn, if the psychiatrist ever asks you, I hope you don't have to go. But if you ever have to go to the psychiatrist and he asks you, quote, the dawn of day, what comes to your mind, unquote. And if you say, the darn, like you darn socks, like you darn a piece of material, he says, quote, unquote, what piece of material? And you say, jacket. He is not going to come to the conclusion that you need his help yet. But he is going to make a little note, because that's the automatic expression, right? Darn the sock. You see, I just gave you that example. This generation, they don't know that expression. They are not darning anymore. Anything, subhanAllah. They don't know anything anymore. But our generation, some of you all know that women used to darn socks. My mother did. Allah taught Adam the names of things, and he hid it in the sound. So the sound says, quote, and he taught Adam the names of things, and then Adam hid it in the sound, made him of clay, but potter's clay. So what is the difference between potter's clay and the clay? Clay means fresh clay. Clay, without the description given in Quran, means fresh clay. And fresh clay, as a meaning, tells us that God made man a baby. That's the behavior of a new baby. And a new baby is like fresh clay, isn't it? It is ready for you to shape its mind, personality, whatever you want. He takes his shape from his mother, father, environment, from whoever will groom it, whoever will shape it. So that's what the clay is by itself. But the sounding clay, that's the expression in the Quran, meaning now that behavior is fixed. It won't allow any shaping. You have to break that pot. You can't shape it anymore. It's fixed. The clay becomes fixed when you bake it. So sounding clay. Now, that brings to me the message that man's behavior is originally pliable or agreeable to whoever will groom it or shape it, and then it becomes we become fixed in our behavior. I get more out of that because the word for potter's clay that is used, it has a sound, and the sound of the word suggests to us the sound that is made when you strike clay with something hard. That's why the translator is right. Sounding clay, potter's clay. Some say sounding clay. His insight is correct, in my opinion. Understanding Adam as language. This takes us to language. We have to leave clay and come to language and what fixes us in our behavior. What gives us this conviction that I have, the behavior I want, and this is the right behavior and will not accept that you will influence my behavior or change my behavior. What gives us this conviction? It's after we have gotten some point. We know children are stubborn like that. That's not the fixing we're talking about. The fixing under that kind of fire, it goes away soon. It's a temporary fix, right? He's stubborn in this situation, and he's back to fresh clay again after that. So, not that. The fire we're talking about is the fire of knowledge. Once the fire of knowledge bakes your clay, it's fixed until somebody brings a greater knowledge. And when they bring a greater knowledge, they don't reshape your clay. They destroy your clay. New knowledge destroys the old vessel, and a new vessel has to be made. This is to tell us, in order to understand Adam, we must first understand Adam as an intellect. But we're to understand Adam as language. Quote, unquote, in the beginning, there was the word. Adam was the intellect. But what was his purpose? To lead his intellect with his descendants. And to do that, he must communicate it. So he was left to his descendants in the form of words. Am I correct? Wow.
Mahasan?
Yeah.
Mahasan, we are about 4 minutes beyond the 15-minute grace period. I think
okay.
We could safely conclude the reading at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Kareem, for that notice. It was you came just in the nick of time because as we focus on these explanations, understanding, and connections that Imam Muhammad is making, it gets pretty heavy on the brain, right? We have to take our time and step away for a moment to contemplate and arrive at an understanding that does give us new knowledge. Whew, powerful, powerful. So we ask all of you, thank you so much for being with us, but we ask you if you have possession of the Volume 1 that you, between the time of today and next Sunday when we'll resume the reading on page 88, that you reread and go over it, make notes of things that come to your mind, and be ready to share that with us at the next session on Sunday meeting of the Ramadan session. Yeah. Yes, dear.
If I may, I had a conversation with Imam Rana Shahid, and he was telling me that he's getting reports of reading sessions across the country. Groups of members are taking the Ramadan sessions and other materials and having reading sessions such as we're doing now. So that's good news.
Alhamdulillah.
I'd like to make a dua.
Before that, I want to share the upcoming broadcast tomorrow on American Muslim 360. I want to invite the American Muslim 360 family to tune into American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of MAPS. MAPS stands for Muslim American Power of Five. MAPS 5, Muslim American Power of Five. It airs at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. It is hosted by Amatola Alaji Sabri, our beloved brother Fleming El Amin, and Sister Cheryl Sadoop. Their broadcast is encouraging civic and personal involvement in the life that we live. So that is MAPS, Muslim America, Power of Five.
We'll certainly tune into that. It was a powerful beginning for their first session last Monday. Very, very powerful and informative. So we invite all of those who can join us to initiate with us the indication and the inception of the sharing of certain knowledge, understanding, and wisdom about civic engagement. Alhamdulillah, we welcome those experts who will be hosting and leading this very informative session tomorrow, starting at 1 Eastern Time, as Imam Kareem says, 12 Central Time, and earlier for Pacific Time. All right, Brother Michael, have you anything to say before we call?
Yes. This is a dua, a supplication to Almighty God I'd like to share. A personal dua from Imam Muhammad that I modified to include us all. And it reads, O Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah be with you, bless you, and protect you until we meet again.
Alhamdulillah, all the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. Assalamu alaikum.